Okay, let's move on to 735 and 736. Do you want to take them together, Commissioner?
Yes, please.
Okay, would you read both, please? 735 and 736.
735, amend contract with Portland Streetcar Inc. to provide additional project management and other professional services for the Portland Streetcar Loop project and increase compensation by $40,400. And 736, amend contract with Portland Streetcar Inc. for vehicle engineering services related to streetcar vehicles being procured from Oregon Ironworks for the Portland Streetcar Loop project and increase compensation by $119,170.
Commissioner Novick.
Colleagues, these contracts are for oversight of the construction of the last streetcar that we plan to buy from Oregon Ironworks. It's always been the plan that once the telepoint crossing is completed and we close the loop, as they say in streetcar world, we would have a fleet of 17 vehicles, 14 would be in operation, and 3 spares to ensure reliable service. And this would be the 6th vehicle we purchased from Oregon Ironworks and the 17th in the fleet. We need to certify to the Federal Transit Administration that the vehicles are functional and safe, and the purpose of having the contractors oversee the work is to ensure that we can say with confidence to the Federal Transit Administration that, yes, we have verified that the vehicles are functional and safe. Both of these contracts, I should note, both PSI's contract with Shields Oblitz Johnson and with the engineering firm LTK, were designed in a way where instead of saying this is what we expect the overall contract maximum to be, you know, for the life of the contract, they were sort of given a minimal budget initially with the understanding that it would be adjusted to reflect additional requirements. So the purpose of adjusting these contract amounts is to allow for that oversight to ensure that the last vehicle is built to our specifications and we can certify to FDA that it's ready to go. With that, I'll turn it over to Catherine Levine.
Thank you. Good morning, Council. As the Commissioner noted, both of these contract amendments authorize professional services that we would need should we proceed with the purchase of the option car, the 17th vehicle for the fleet. These amendments also keep the contractors available to provide oversight on upgrades and enhancements to the 5 cars that we have already procured from Oregon Ironworks. The total cost for these professional services is just under $160,000. It is grant eligible, meaning that 60% of the cost would be paid by the Eastside Loop project federal funds and approximately 40% by local project funds. There are project funds available in contingency to cover those expenses. As you know, there's a great deal of history leading up to this point. As noted earlier, the Eastside Loop project scope described a fleet of 17 vehicles to provide service. We originally procured 5 cars from Oregon Ironworks. We have received them in 2013, resolved our concerns, and obtained spare parts and requested upgrades are in progress. The city has an option to buy the 6th OIW car from Oregon Ironworks, and that would increase the fleet to 17 vehicles. The price of the car is $3.5 million, less credits from OIW of $1.595 million. So the total price of that car would be $1.925 million. We've looked and contacted other cities about the purchase of their cars. There's quite a range of prices. The most comparable vehicles being purchased are being purchased at a price of $3.9 million. I'd be happy to take any questions that you have.
Okay. Questions for Catherine?
I don't understand why, I mean, we've been doing this for quite a while now. Why is the contract price going up?
So we are requesting additional work from both contractors. The option car is literally the car that we had the option to buy. And this would be in addition to the work that they've already completed on the 5 cars that we procured in 2013.
But I don't understand why we didn't know that this was going, why at this point on the 17th car, mm-hmm. that we don't know how much it costs to build a car and what the professional services contract is going to be.
So in the last return to council, We were working towards the LTK services needed for oversight on those first five cars. We did not include or assume the option car in that work.
So maybe if I paraphrase, though, I think I understand. We're optioning another vehicle, therefore we're buying additional professional services for the construction oversight, right? It's not a surprise that we have to buy the construction oversight services. It's just that we have to flick the switch and do that if we're exercising the option. Did I get that right?
If we exercise the option to buy the car, yes, we would need the oversight.
But we haven't exercised the option yet, right?
No, we have not signed.
We have not, but given that we've made a commitment that we're going to have a fleet of 17 cars, and given, as Catherine said, that actually, given our, we would be getting this car from Oregon Ironworks at a much lower price than if we bought another car at the open market, it seems prudent for us to assume that we are going to go ahead and buy this car, although they've been building it without that firm commitment.
Other questions for Catherine? And is there anyone else signed up to testify on this one?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
Anyone want to speak? Okay. So this is a previous agenda item. So we take a roll call.
I didn't hear the previous agenda item.
What did we? How does this show up? Help me out here, Carla. Why is this showing up as, both of these are showing up as previous agenda item?
Yeah, they were.
They were on the agenda, but we didn't.
Oh, they were pulled back. That's right. Okay. So they roll over to second reading.
They're emergency ordinances. We could.
They're not marked as.
They're not marked as such. No.
Oh. Sorry.
Oh, the original ordinance is in the book. Let's look. Original ordinance is an emergency ordinance.
Oh, I'm sorry. Looks like I have left off the asterisk on these on the agenda, but they are physically emergency ordinances.
Okay. So these are both emergency ordinances. Now they're back on the calendar. We can't act on them today. Okay. Got it.
My apologies for missing.
That's all right. I didn't look either. Thank you. Okay. So let's take a roll call on item 735.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Hales?
Well, there's a little history here, and actually it was 13 years ago this summer that I and a few other people, actually quite a few other people, walked down the street in front of the first three streetcars, and if anybody had told me then that we would be purchasing number 17, I would have been amazed. So this is really great, and I think it's always important when we talk about the streetcar to keep reminding people about the return to the city, because Commissioner Novick and I have been hearing people complain about the subsidy to the streetcar, and actually, particularly due to the action the council is now taking to start putting assessed value back on the tax rolls in the Pearl District and elsewhere. As you recall, we are in the process of putting 30% of the value in the Pearl District back on the tax rolls as of yesterday. That's just the first 30%. That produces a cash flow to local government of $6 million a year from the first 30%. Of one of the urban renewal areas. We've had, depending on who you ask, somewhere between $3.5 and $5 billion worth of assessed value built within three blocks of the streetcar line. It is one of the best investments any city has ever made. Now the trouble is there's a color of money problem. The money comes in to us and schools and county and other governments through different accounts than we expend the monies for operating the thing. But on a profit and loss basis, it's a big winner. And I think we have not been as clear about that with some of our fellow citizens who still think that this is a net expenditure. It's not. It's a profit center for local government because people have invested so much in development along the line. And obviously, there's quite a bit more still to come. So an amazing story in 13 years that we are now getting ready to close the loop. And we have 17 streetcars going to be in the fleet. That's progress. Aye. 736.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
I appreciate the mayor's comments, and I will reiterate my standing comment that although the streetcar is a profit center for the city, it's a profit center for general fund revenue sources, a limited amount of which redounds to PBOT. So in next year's budget process, I will renew my plea for general fund support for the streetcar, given that it's a general fund that benefits from the development that it has promoted. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Hales.
And now that we're putting value back on the tax rolls, that's an even stronger argument, so you won't have to twist my arm quite as hard. One more anecdote while we have a moment, and that is my favorite conversation ever about the streetcar was with someone that I think everybody on the council knows and loves, and that's Susan Emmons. And my daughter and I were sitting in the Starbucks on park blocks one morning having coffee, and Susan came over and interrupted us. I'm really sorry to interrupt you, but I need to confess something, and that is I really opposed the streetcar when it was being proposed because I thought it was just an amenity for yuppies. But then all my clients and the folks that our organization serves who are coming out of homelessness and getting back into the economy, and they have to get to their doctor's appointments and they have to get to their job, they're all riding the streetcar. And I was wrong, and I'm glad you built it. And so that particular conversation about the streetcar pointed out to me its community value. We just have to look at one going by to see the diversity of who's riding it to remember that. But I thought Susan's confession and her recanting of her previous opposition was about as sweet as it gets in this business. Aye.